Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. I think we got a pretty good show for you lined up. Unless you're a criminal, then you might not want to be here. Bob and Mary Griswold are with us.
Hello.
Hello.
How and Rainer James.
Hey there, y'all.
Melissa.
Hello.
And we have Sheriff Chip Hughes from Craven County and Sheriff Asa Buck from Carter County.
Hey there.
Good evening.
These guys don't like each other, so.
just a little bit.
They know better than that.
Yeah. And we know Rick's a fibber sometimes.
He is fibbing tonight, isn't he?
We have Asa and Chip in. Try to do it at least several times a year. We're fast approaching our annual Back the Blue event, which is held in May. We got a little hiccup this year. Our meeting's on May 17th, and so is the primary. Mm. And half of us are working the polls. I'm a judge at the polls, and the other ones are working at the polls. So we're going to have to change the date and come up with another night to do it. But it will be in May. And as usual, we ask you to submit names of officers that you would like to have recognized, and we'll pay tribute to them. Real quick. Chip, give us an update on what's going on in the county.
Everything's going really well. You know, I think y'all know my priority from day one has been to go after these folks that are bringing this poison into our county, because that's what's taking more lives than anything else. So we'll continue to go after them. You know, we did an operation. We always have ongoing operations, myself, Sheriff Buck, Sheriff Davis, and Pamlico. Had one not long ago that we did a press release and press conference on, where we took some pretty bad folks off the street.
Good.
Folks that didn't have a problem selling dangerous narcotics into our schools and to our children and family members. And hopefully we will never see them again, the severity of those charges.
At a traffic stop in Havelock, you took a pound of methamphetamines off the, yeah, 3,780 dosage units.
Right.
Also in excess of 13 ounces of cocaine and excess of 7 grams of heroin, which is 140 dosage units, 2 ounces of marijuana, and $3,000 in cash, and 2 firearms. These folks were serious about it, weren't they?
Yeah, they just made the mistake of doing it in eastern North Carolina, where you've got some sheriffs that are very serious about not allowing that nonsense to happen here.
How do you do that? Or can you tell us a little bit about what sort of an operation? Are they car stops, or are they going to people's homes? Or what?
You know, without getting into too much detail, lot of it, honestly, is citizen-driven complaints.
Okay.
Myself and Sheriff Buck will get complaints, and we follow up on them. Our policy is if we get a complaint, we're going to follow it till there's nothing else to follow. So a lot of these arrests do come from citizen-driven complaints. We go into the neighborhoods, into the communities, and we aggressively go after these folks that the citizens are complaining on.
So the people, our listeners, could help, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we would not be as successful as we are if it was not for the support of our communities and the teams that we have put together and our partnerships. But having the support of the community is paramount if we want to make any leeway or headway on this opioid and epidemic that we're dealing with.
And Asa, I think you're dealing with the same thing. If I pull up your Carter County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, I see pretty much the same type of activity there.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
we have a wonderful area that we live in here in eastern North Carolina, Craven County, Carteret County. I mean, it's just top-notch. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there aren't any places any better than where we live. But no matter how great of a community you live in, you're always going to have challenges. And as long as you have people, you're going to have issues. You're always going to need law enforcement, and we're always going to have to deal with various types of issues. Domestic violence, people who, you know, property crime, violent crime, financial crime. But as Sheriff Hughes and I will tell you, and all the other sheriffs in North Carolina and all the other law enforcement folks will tell you, that a lot of the crime we deal with, probably a majority of the crime we deal with, has a nexus to substances, drugs and alcohol. And a lot of people do what they do because of their addictions, feeding their addictions, because they do something because while they're under the influence of drugs and alcohol that they might not have done when they were sober. You know, things like driving under the influence and that type of thing, which presents an extreme danger to the public. And, you know, years ago when we talked about DWI, we used to always talk about people drinking alcohol and operating a motor vehicle. But when we got into the prescription drug epidemic, you know, a lot of the people that were operating vehicles under the influence were operating under the influence of prescription drugs, in many cases, even more so than alcohol. And now that the opioid epidemic has switched from prescription painkillers to illegal street drugs, we still have the same problem with people operating vehicles under the influence. I mean, we go to people who are overdosing, you know, all the time, overdosed in a car. Some of them sitting there with the engines running, with their foot on the brake, that type of thing.
Kids
overdosed.
Kids in the car.
I mean, you know, you see it in news reports all the time, all across the state, all across the country. And so when people talk about drugs being a victimless crime, I've heard that, and it just makes me sick to hear it, because drug addiction is not a victimless crime. And the things that people do because of drugs or in search of drugs creates a lot of victims in their wake.
All right, a countless number of victims.
What is the breakdown the two of you see so far as people involved who are citizens versus people involved who have invaded our country from our southern border?
You know, it's really hard to put a number on it, whereas, you know, both of us work closely with ICE. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're out there looking, we're looking at anybody that is bringing harm to our citizens.
Of course, but I was thinking that you might have feel for what the mix is.
It would be hard. It kind of comes and goes, you know, as the Obama administration saw fit mm-hmm. to turn loose many illegals that were trafficking large amounts of dangerous narcotics and would refer to it as these are not dangerous crimes. Well, that's ridiculous, because the majority of our violence, like the sheriff was saying, stems from the dependency on these narcotics, you know. And so to put an actual number on it, it would be tough for me to do that. You know, we do get a substantial amount of illegals that are trafficking dangerous narcotics into our mm-hmm. counties.
To follow up on that, I think another thing to consider or for people to consider as well is what type of atmosphere is present for those illegals. If they go to a sanctuary state, you're going to have more folks there. Even here in North Carolina, you're going to have more folks who can operate a little bit better in some of our counties where they might have a little bit more liberal population that wants to put up with a little bit more stuff that we don't put up with here in eastern mm-hmm. North Carolina. And so I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, the majority of the sheriffs in our state, we work very closely with ICE. We're committed to working against illegal immigration. We lobby our state legislature. We lobby through our National Sheriffs Association and many other sheriffs around the country. We lobby the Congress and try to send letters to the president, whoever the president may be at any particular time, to secure the border and to work on immigration reform and not just let anybody come to our country. You know, various things with IDs and who can get a driver's license, any number of different things. There's a lot of facets to the immigration issue, but when it comes down to people being victimized, You know, some folks on the left leaning side, they just don't seem to think that it really matters who comes here.
All right.
Well, those of us that are in the law enforcement side, and we have to protect victims. If anybody in this room that we're sitting here talking, or a U.S. citizen commits a crime, Sheriff Hughes, myself, we can go find those people. If they go anywhere in the United States, you know, if you get you're out in California and you get stopped in a where there's a warrant on file for you and you get stopped in a vehicle stop, they run your name. We can get you back here if you've committed a serious enough offense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when someone comes to this country from another country and nobody knows who they are, there's no record of them, they can come here and commit the absolute worst offense you can think of, and they can haul buggy, and they are a ghost.
That's right. All right.
And then we can't get justice for our victims right here. And so, you know, we can do things, and we can find the natural-born folks and the folks who are documented in our country. But when illegals are allowed just to come and go as they please, then that's just that's not even treating our own citizens in a fair manner.
So, you know, especially when you have an arrest record is a valid ID to get on an aircraft.
Yeah. Supposedly, that's what they say.
So,
I guess.
So, quick question. I know around here you really do have the support of the district attorney and the judicial system that we, when you read about New York or some other places, it's just a revolving door.
Yeah.
Comments?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we've got a fantastic district attorney, Scott Thomas. We both probably talk with Scott multiple times every day and meet just to discuss strategies to protect and safeguard our citizens. For law enforcement officers like Sheriff Buck and myself, who have taken a very, very hard stance, and we know we can't eradicate the problem, but like we've said many times before, we can make it so difficult for them to operate here. I hate to say, but we move the problem where our responsibility is Carteret and Craven County. You know, my responsibility is not Durham or Wake County. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we make it very difficult for these people to operate in our counties. And, you know, I do want to touch, if we've got time, on the illegals.
Can we do that after the break?
Yes, sir. You're driving the show.
All right. It's time to take a break, so we'll do that. Before we do, Asa, you brought up a good point about the more liberal communities willing to, you know, accept more. Well, I thought the law was the law. I didn't know there was that built-in flexibility.
That's right.
That if you're liberal, you can get away with it, and if you're not, you can't. So anyway, time to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with Sheriff Asa Buck and Chip Hughes, and hope you'll stay tuned.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Folks, I hope you paid attention to the commercials during the break, and go out and support our sponsors because they support us. They're the only reason we're on the air, have been for over 8 years now, and our sponsors have been very loyal. And, you know, doing business with like-minded people is enjoyable. And you just need to give them a try. All right, Chip, you wanted to talk a little bit about immigration issue?
I do. You know, we have seen across the nation where, you know, buses, planes of illegals have been brought into our country illegally. And it's
Are you saying that the administration is sponsoring this?
Here we go. you know, the Biden administration is doing this, and it is imperative that us sheriffs know when illegals are being brought into our counties so we know where they are, so they can be held accountable for their actions just like everybody else. But it's imperative that we know, and, you know, we are not getting that. You know, there's the Biden administration is not making us aware of when illegals are being brought into our county. And I'll tell you, the sheriff and I have both signed a petition that is going up to our legislators at the federal level requiring a law be put in place that will require the Biden administration to notify us when they're sending illegals into our county. It was put together by a very conservative sheriff up in Massachusetts, one that we follow, and like Sheriff Buck, when we see something come across our desk, got his name on it, it gets a lot of attention. And many times we sign on to it and get it to appropriate. So we both signed the petition this week as it was sent to us. That's gonna, if it gets passed into law, and I go ahead and tell you, if we don't get a majority in the House and Senate, it's not going to. And Biden certainly isn't going to sign something like this into law that would require him to notify us so we can protect our citizens. That's all. That's all we're asking. Just let us know so we know where these people are. So if, when they do break the law and it's in, and it, you know, brings harm to one of our citizens, we can hold them accountable just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I can find any of y'all here at this table at any time.
Yep.
It's because there's laws, there's processes in place that allows us to do that. And we do it without violating anybody's rights.
Yep.
But it's for the betterment of our neighborhoods and our communities, and it's law and order. And if you could imagine what this country would be like without it, you look at some of these sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. The crime rate's through the roof. There's murders every day.
It's a nightmare place.
Yeah.
We were actually talking about that on the way in tonight, that the crime rates in some of these places have gone up 250-300% just, you know, in a year. It's just, and the ages are getting younger and younger, and just, it's unbelievable. But as far as President Biden signing something like that, they won't even admit they're doing it. Right. You know, they're flying them in, and, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So you're right. If we don't win come midterms,
look, there's a legal way to do it.
Right.
You know, there is a legal way to come into this country.
Right.
And all we are saying is, you know, utilize that process.
That was something that I was going to ask you guys about. If you watched the State of the Union address?
I was doing something else.
Me too. I admit I was watching. I fell asleep.
I did watch. I did wake up in time, I think, to watch the
rebuttal.
The governor from Iowa.
Yes.
The lady.
Yes.
What a lady she is, and a true statesman. I mean, I was very impressed with her. And I.
Well, what I wanted to bring up about the speech, I immediately thought of you guys was when he. Was touting another Make America Great Again point that he is trying to steal and take as his own, was that we need to fix the border.
Yes, he said that.
And, hello, where have you destroyed the secure border that we were quickly approaching? And when you have those floodgates open and that amount of prescription drugs and fentanyl and things like that coming across, I mean, it's like a flood. It's just a constant.
Yeah. I thought one of the biggest jokes of the evening when he said, we've got to fund the police, not defund.
Yeah.
Well, that is part of the reasons for these crime rates that are through the roof, where you go to these sanctuary cities, these cities that do not support law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Now they are trying to backpedal a little bit and say, no, we just want to reallocate. Well, like we've said, reallocate, defund.
Reimagine what it means.
And I have yet to meet a social service worker that wants to be the first one through the door.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to meet that person anytime soon.
Well, Chip, on your comments about the administration, the federal government, it sounds like you put on your big boy pants. And some of our listeners might be wondering, who do you think you are?
These are my common sense pants.
He wears those on Thursdays. Yeah.
Well, they might be wondering, what kind of power do you think you have? So I want to straighten them out a little bit here. This is North Carolina, sheriff's offices in North Carolina. This is what the sheriffs are responsible for. The office of sheriff is the oldest public office in North Carolina. It was established in 1662. It was constitutionally mandated in North Carolina in 1776. It is an elected law enforcement office. The sheriff has duties in all three branches of law enforcement: policing, courts, criminal justice, and correctional jail. The office of the sheriff is the primary. It said the office of the sheriff.
Yes, sir.
You thank you. Thank
you. You didn't have to.
We've had that talk before.
Anyway, where was I?
Office of the sheriff is the primary.
Yeah, but I can't find that now. Anyway. Law enforcement duties of this office include patrolling the counties, preventing crime, investigating violations of the law, and apprehending law violators. In addition, support services such as communications, evidence, and property control services are provided. The sheriff is also responsible for keeping and maintaining the common jail of the county, which currently consists of separate detention facilities at the county public safety centers and the detention annex, if required by the counties. The office is responsible for transporting prisoners for court appearances. In the area of judicial services, the office of the sheriff serves as the enforcement arm of the North Carolina General Court of Justice. The office serves civil and criminal processes issued by the courts, which often includes arresting persons and bringing them before the courts, as well as the seizure and sale of personal and real property to satisfy court judgments. The sheriff is responsible for courtroom security in the district and superior courtrooms in the county. Other miscellaneous duties of the office mandated by the state include pistol purchase permits, concealed handgun permits, parade and picketing permits, and maintaining registries of sexual offenders and domestic violators. In North Carolina, the sheriff is elected to a 4-year term and may not be a felon. A county sheriff is responsible not to county authorities, but to the citizens of the county.
That's correct.
County governments are responsible for providing funding to the sheriff's office. Now, here's where I get into the federal part of it. The sheriff is the highest ranking law enforcement officer of each of the state's 100 counties, but possesses no authority over state or municipal officers. I didn't get a chance to dig into that because I'm not sure that's correct. This came off of Wikipedia, by the way, so it's a possibility that it could not be correct. The sheriff has complete at-will power to hire and terminate deputies and other sheriff's office personnel at his or her will and pleasure. Deputies and jailers serve a term concurrent with the sheriff not to exceed 4 years, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. Exceptions to the county sheriff in North Carolina are that two of North Carolina's counties, which are Gaston and Mecklenburg, they don't have sheriffs. They have police forces.
Correction. They have sheriffs, but they also have a county police.
Right. You're right. You're correct. Of course you're correct.
Well, I know a little bit about it. Right.
In Gaston County, the Gaston County Police Department is responsible for countywide policy or police services for the incorporated and unincorporated areas of the county while overlapping with the city and township police. So the whole point of that is, and it said right here, the sheriff is the highest ranking law enforcement officer of each of the state's 100 counties. That means that federal officers cannot come into Chip or Asa's county and tell them what to do. They can tell them, turn around, get back out of here. You ain't taking no guns up in this county. Correct?
Well, I mean, a matter of telling who what to do. I mean, yeah, they certainly can't tell us to come in here and enforce federal law and stuff like that, and they can't dictate to us how we enforce the laws of the state and our county ordinances. In same circumstance, you know, we can't tell them how they enforce their federal laws.
But
if, I mean, they have.
If it's unconstitutional, your oath says you uphold the Constitution of the state and the United States. Coming in and taking your guns away is unconstitutional. It's a violation of the Second Amendment. So I feel like in that case, you can tell them to get the heck out of your county.
Well, what is constitutional is decided by men and women who wear black robes and sit behind big wooden benches. And the people in the listening audience need to understand that, because some of the most important people they vote for every election are judges.
Right, I agree with you on that.
On our state level, because our state judges are elected. On the federal level, it's important who you vote for on the national level, because the president gets to appoint all these federal judges and they decide what is constitutional. Now, if Sheriff Hughes or I feel like something is potentially a violation of the Constitution and we don't think something is correct, as elected sheriffs, we have discretion. And if somebody wants to come in and say, hey, Sheriff, you ought to do X, Y, and Z, we have the power to say no.
Okay.
No, we're not. We're not going to do that. We don't think that's correct. That's just like when all this stuff came out with the pandemic and the governor's orders and saying you're going to go around and these can be enforced by local law enforement. We weren't going to go around to churches and count heads and see how many people were in a church and say, hey, you can't have church today. Well, you got too many people in here. We said, no, we're not going to do that, and we didn't do it. So people can issue orders and executive orders and things like that. That doesn't mean that elected county sheriffs have to carry them out. If it's something that – because we're responsible to the people. Someone else might be responsible to the people. Just the governor is elected. Sheriffs are elected. He has discretion. We have discretion. And if we don't think something is on the up and up with regard to protecting people's rights – then we're not going to move forward with it. If we think that it does protect people's rights and it's a public safety issue and following the law, then we will do those things. But that's the good part of being a sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never had any desire to be anything else. I've always wanted to be a sheriff.
Not to be argumentative, but I am going to disagree with you. Judges do not decide what is constitutional. The Constitution is what it is. Now, they may misinterpret the Constitution, but they do not make the Constitution, okay?
Right.
It takes a constitutional amendment to alter what's already been put there. Now, for those that aren't aware of it, your Supreme Court does not make laws. It is not the final law in this country. Supreme Court issues opinions.
Right.
That's all they do. But we allow elected officials to take those opinions and act like they're new laws, and we let them get away with it.
Well,
the people have done that.
Well, through their judicial rulings, they do set precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we all have to follow precedent. You know, if an appeals court case or a Supreme Court case, federal level, state level, issues, you know, precedent, then that's something that we have to go by. And then they might rule in a case, and then maybe a legislature has to go back and adjust a law depending on what the ruling was in a particular case. And judges aren't supposed to legislate from
right,
the bench.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because we have some in the state of North Carolina who want to do that.
Absolutely.
I got curious one time about the origin of the title sheriff, and I looked it up, and it was really interesting to me. In very early England, the king's representative in a certain territory was called the shire, and the person who executed
the person who was the shire,
but the person who carried out those orders was the reeve.
Right.
Hence the word sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To go back to what you were saying about the Constitution and judges and laws, I think one of the saddest things that has happened in our country, and I don't know when it exactly happened, law schools do not teach the Constitution. They teach case law.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who has a daughter who is a lawyer and went through Suffolk Law School, which is a good law school.
Yeah.
And she never studied the Constitution. She studied case law.
Yeah, our friend Diane Rufino says the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was brought up before about the immigrants. I'll take an immigrant that's gone through the naturalization process, yes, mm-hmm, and put them up against any of our elected officials in Congress today. There's only three or four up there that I'm pretty sure know enough about the Constitution to talk with them about it.
I helped a Filipino woman get ready for the test to pass as a citizen of the United States. And she said to me, "Where'd you learn all this stuff?" I said, "I learned it in grade school."
Yeah. Well,
they taught it
back when they used
no
to teach
longer.
It.
Yeah. 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 No,
not all of us went to a one-room schoolhouse, Hal.
But my sister went to a four-room schoolhouse.
Big time. Well, yeah. On that note, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, The North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, Asa Buck from Carteret County and Chip Hughes from Craven County, the dynamic duo in sheriffs around here.
Amen to that. Yes, indeed.
And we have Chris Davis down in Pamlico County. He is very much on this board with them, and I could not get him in here tonight, but we'll have him at a future date. Again, I want to remind everybody that every May, it is an annual thing that we do with CCTA, and that is Back the Blue. It's usually the third Tuesday of the month, but because of the primaries this year being on the same date, we're going to have to reschedule that. So keep an eye on cctaxpayers.com, and we'll bring you up to date on exactly when that event will be. It's a wonderful thing for them to be able to nominate some of their officers to receive recognition for the outstanding service that they've done. The problem is they all need recognition. It's hard to pick just one or two. They all deserve recognition, and they all need to have our support on a daily basis. So we hope you'll join us this year for the Back to Blue in May. And again, watch us on cctaxpayers.com for updates on that. Melissa?
Another thing that was said in the State of the Union is that with working with funding the police, that he also wants to address the opioid crisis as well, and to work with law enforcement to stop trafficking, which I think is hilarious when you keep the doors open to just let it come in.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that his administration wants to give out kits and, you know, with crack pipes in them and stuff, because they, did you not know that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've seen that, yeah.
But, you know, because they, you don't want to, a broken pipe that would cut your lip and you get infected. So got to have good, nice pipes and the other kits that they give out. So that's what, you know, our taxpayer money is funding right now.
They also want us to wear a mask in the event of nuclear attack.
Yeah, that.
That's fact. That is on the government website. If we are nuclear, if there is a nuclear attack, stay 6 feet apart and grab your mask if possible.
That's the Ready campaign.
Yes.
Yep.
Ready.gov. Okay, anyway, so what I wanted to ask you guys was, I know that there's a lot of interesting watching things that go on at the border. I saw one last night where Border Patrol opened, you know, of course, they're inspecting at airports and stuff, but they opened up a shipment of art, and slicing through the canvas, it's in between the canvas backing and the paint are flat layers of the meth.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they had, like, huge things of fish that it was stuffed inside of and things like that. So what, personally, here has been the strangest place that you guys have recovered drugs?
This is a family program, so you can't say.
He's got a scanner
in the prison purse. I don't want to hear about that, okay?
While I was in the National Guard, we had a program of military support to civilian authorities, and I was in charge of that for the state of Virginia. And we were helping the law enforcement people looking for drugs at Norfolk Shipyard. And what we discovered was this dog kept hitting on something and we couldn't find it. Just kept hitting on it and we couldn't find it. So we sent it to a laboratory, the whole box. You know what they found? The drugs were somehow ingrained in the cardboard.
Oh, yeah.
The little channels.
Yeah, the little channels in the cardboard. Yeah. That's where it was. Mm-hmm. We couldn't see it when we looked inside the box.
Well, I know y'all get a lot of heroin and cocaine, things like that, but this fentanyl, tell us how dangerous that drug is and how much of it you encounter.
Jason, you want to add?
Well, it's very dangerous. I mean, fentanyl is, you know, a lot of things are measured in grams, but fentanyl like pharmaceutical grade, is measured in micrograms.
1,000 grams.
Right. And so, and there's various types of fentanyl analogs. There's fentanyl, carfentanil, other types of fentanyl. You have pharmaceutical grade fentanyl. We've been dealing with fentanyl for years, the pharmaceutical kind manufactured in pharmaceutical companies and in medicine, you know, here in our country. Dealt with it more in that manner back when we were dealing with the opioid epidemic and the prescription drug issue. And we had some overdoses from fentanyl. Usually came in, you would see in a transdermal patches where it would be applied to the skin and for cancer patients and the like. Well, switching over to the illegal drugs, the prescription drug epidemic created the atmosphere for the drug dealers to flood the markets with heroin. And then, for some reason or another, which a lot of us can't really figure out, why they started putting all this fentanyl in these drugs, because it's causing so many overdoses and so much death. Back when we were dealing with prescription drugs in my county, we were all running around talking about how much of a problem that we had. We were having overdoses and deaths. And when we were having 8 to 10 to 12 overdoses a year, we were saying, hey, this is real bad. We got to do something. Well, just to give you an example, now that we're having all this fentanyl being put in these drugs, in 2020, we had 35 drug overdose deaths. In 2021, we had 30.
In Carteret County.
In Carteret County. So in 2 years, we've had 65 people in Carteret County die from drug overdose. Mm.
And you've seen similar results in Craven?
Oh, absolutely. It is, obviously, it knows no boundaries. It knows no boundaries in regards to, you know, the overdoses stuff. However, when we talk about boundaries, these, talking about concealment and where we're finding it, you know, where these drug traffickers and dealers are stupid for what they're doing. They're very crafty at their trade.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are masters of, deception, if you will. And, you know, how they disguise this stuff and what they put it in. And, you know, now we're seeing fentanyl in a pill form that's pressed that looks like an Ambien or something, you know, just that you would buy over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
We seized over 10,000 dosage units a few months ago on US 70 coming into our county. And,
wow.
You know, it was hidden well. So, you know, the days of it just being in a duffel bag on the back seat, very rarely does that happen. That's why the dogs are so crucial to our aggressive drug enforcement. And because these narcotics are being hidden in places that us humans would not be able to find without one disassembling a vehicle totally piece by piece.
We've seen those demonstrations. In some of our meetings, you put on the demonstrations and had the dog and the handler find drugs that had been hidden on the premises. And that's what I was thinking about. When we were talking about how to interdict the judge, the drugs, how you do that. You were real strong on getting a dog. You got one. And I bet you had, what, 3 or 4 now?
I've got 7 now.
Great.
All of which, by the way, all of which have been donated at no cost to the taxpayer. Every dog.
That's wonderful.
Has
right.
been donated. Either the money to purchase the dog, the training for the dog, in many cases, the equipment. Now, the county does provide the vehicle for the deputy's salary, and stuff like that. However, the equipment and the dogs have been donated through a nonprofit. Friends of the Craven County Sheriff's
Office. Right, Friends of the Craven County Sheriff's Office. They have been outstanding in the support they've given you. I don't know what dollar amount is at this point, but
it's very significant. And it comes from the people of this county that believe in what we're doing, and they're seeing a difference. Because all of us have been affected in some way, shape, or form from the opioid epidemic we're dealing with. It does not matter what your name is, what color you are, right. Where you live, whether you got money or not, it doesn't matter.
So any of you that want to help support and maintain these canine units with the Sheriff's Department. You can go to Facebook to
Got him.
Oh,
I knew sooner or later we'd get you.
All right. The Sheriff's Office is, if you want to help the Sheriff's Office with their canine units, and on Facebook you can go to Friends of Craven County Sheriff's Office and donate there. Volunteer there.
Yes.
They could use your help. All right.
Going back to how dangerous this fentanyl is, that has anyone around the table, have you ever had? No one? After I had back surgery, I was put on fentanyl patches. Mm. And it was a low dose, but I was put on it in the hospital, and I was in the hospital for a while. When I tell you that sitting on the toilet and falling forward and not being able to catch myself, hitting my head there several times, standing in the shower, having someone hold me because I could not stand up. It immediately makes you such a different person. And I begged to get off of it. One of my patches ran out before they switched it. And I think I would have done just about anything to make that pain stop. That's how quickly I got addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And literally chewing a pencil with the lead crumbling in my mouth. So just clawing at my, it was horrific. And that is how quickly it will grab you. If the, and I didn't go and get addicted. I was under a doctor and they helped me and fixed it, but they just had to adjust my medication. But what I'm trying to say is that when these things are put out there that you're not under a doctor and you're not, supervised, that these people who don't know and they take this stuff, of course you are going to die. You have no idea the strength of the, and I have been on many narcotics for this back issue I've dealt with. There is nothing like it. There is nothing like it. It is the worst possible thing. And there's no, you can't control those dosage amounts that are coming in on the street.
No, certainly not. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, when you're taking street drugs, you don't know what's in it.
Right.
And pharmaceutical grade drugs are one thing, and those drugs affect people differently. And certainly people have different tolerances depending on what they take and how much. But you can't do street drugs in moderation.
Right.
You don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
And now they're putting fentanyl in all kinds of things. It's not only in heroin. They're putting it in the meth. They're putting it in cocaine. They're putting it in marijuana. You don't know what it's in. Just like Sheriff, you said, they're taking these pills and they're putting these drugs in these pill presses and they're pressing pills. So when somebody says, hey, man, here's an OxyContin, you don't know what that is. You have no idea what you're putting in your body. And you're playing Russian roulette.
Yep.
Scary.
It is. Mary, did you have?
I was going to mention, you talked about hiding the drugs. Some friends of ours, this was a number of years ago, were walking down the beach down by Emerald Isle, and they came across a plastic-wrapped package that was all about this big, about maybe 12 inches square and a couple inches deep, all wrapped up in plastic, duct tape, the whole bit. And they didn't know what it was, so they called the police, and the police came and got it. And it was marijuana. Mm. And they figured out that it was probably taped to the bottom of a boat in case they got searched. They had taped it to the bottom of the boat to bring it in, and they were going to distribute it, but evidently they hit rough water and the marijuana came off.
Well, yeah. We got a call from Norfolk again that the people in big ships were bringing it in, encased in a box on the side of the ship. In other words, you couldn't get it from inside the ship. Mm. You had to have a diver go down. So they asked me to be a diver. So I went up to Delta Force up in West Virginia. They had a camp up there, and they provided the divers. They went in there, and sure enough, they discovered it. So they reported it. They said, well, we don't want to disturb it here. Let's wait till I get to the destination in New York. The ship was going up to New York. We'll catch the big guys. So that's what they did. They never knew that Virginia had anything to do with it because the bus was made up in New York.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, we got to get one more break in here before the end of the show, so please stay tuned and come back after hearing this word from our sponsors.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We are getting ready to wrap the show up, so we're going to turn it over to the sheriffs here to give their final comments, but I just wanted to read this one thing. The county sheriff is the last line of defense when it comes to upholding and defending the Constitution. A sheriff's duties go far beyond writing tickets, making arrests, and operating jails. A sheriff also has an obligation to protect the constitutional rights of the citizens of his or her county. All sheriffs take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. And Abraham Lincoln made a statement that America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves.
What's the source of that, Rick? It's not Wikipedia, is it?
No, no. That was Abraham Lincoln. He was the source. Okay.
And he said, trust the internet.
Right. Okay, Chip, final comments.
You know, what you're reading there about the office of the sheriff, and it is so humbling to be the sheriff of Graven County.
And have your own department.
What?
That's another dollar.
That is, that's a dollar. So,
but you're learning.
You know, and the thing is it's not my office. It's your office.
Yep.
The people. You know, we are just the ones that are blessed to be able to do what we do every day and night. And, you know, in reading that, you know, the number one function of government is to protect its people. And that's why, you know, we think this office is so special and that it is a privilege and an honor to be able to protect your citizens, you know, that that you all will entrust in us.
Right. And we see that that's what you're doing, too. You're not going after these drug dealers because you want to be putting somebody away for life. You actually go out of your way to help them out to try to.
We do. We have a number of processes in place, and I can't take credit for that. I'll be honest. A lot of the stuff we've done here, I've modeled after what Sheriff Buck's done, because I've said time and time again, coming into this office, you don't have the luxury of a lot of time to figure things out. So if Sheriff Buck has something that's working, his drug enforcement program was working over there, is working, but also being able to help those that want to help themselves. And what he's done over there as well as stuff that we're doing here too. So it's I'm honored to serve side by side with him, and I'm so thankful that I've got a sheriff like that next door I can call.
We are too.
Well, and I feel the same way about Sheriff Hughes. And, we work very closely together, and we do a lot of the same things together. I mean, yeah, we're out here investigating criminal activity, trying to hold criminals accountable. In the same token, everything we do is based in trying to help someone, certainly our victims, but also some of the folks that, or many of the folks that find themselves involved in our justice system due to their addictions. And we didn't go into it in the program as much this time, but you know, I always want people to realize that it's not just about arresting people. We can't arrest our way out of all of our problems. We have to have a multifaceted approach. We have to educate our young people to not use drugs and alcohol. We have to have strict enforcement, certainly, and then we have to be able to help those people who want to help themselves through treatment. And you know, we work in our various programs that we operate and working with our courts. We are recovery counties. We are recovery sheriffs. We go out and we advocate for people, and we advocate for more resources to be available in our state and in our area, whether it's mental health, substance use, to try to help people who are suffering through their issues.
All right. And we really appreciate that because a lot of families are really suffering because of
absolutely
one of their kids or relatives are going through these things. They need all the help they can get. Well, that's all the time we have for our show today, folks. We hope you've enjoyed having time to spend with the two sheriffs from Craven and Carteret counties. And we do ask that you please, every time you see them, tell them you appreciate what they're doing and support the men in blue and the women in blue out there that are risking it all for you and looking out for your freedoms and protecting your property.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.